It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cars. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. 2 weeks and a day from National Signing Day. And well, Jason, since this we are BleedTechBlue.com is the everyday home for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. That's our bread and butter on Rivals.com is football recruiting. We'll talk a little basketball in the first segment. The Bulldogs, whoa, 0-2 on that Florida trip. And kind of reeling right now.
Ouch, definitely.
And then in the second segment, we're going to have Johnny Hill, the newly retired head coach of Oxford High School in Mississippi, the head coach for two Louisiana Tech commitments, Jack Abraham, a quarterback, and Zach Kuzer, a tight end. I thought that he could give great insight on the play of both of those players. Abraham is a recent signee, actually. Signed this week, will be enrolled, I would imagine, in spring quarter, be able to participate in spring football. So that gives Tech another body at quarterback. And if you're a quarterback, you can never have too much time in a system. Jason, let's go back, and then of course we'll finish out with lots of recruiting. We'll go through the commitment list, give our thoughts on everybody, where we see them fitting, how early will they contribute to Louisiana Tech, and how we expect Louisiana Tech to finish. Give us a call, give your questions and thoughts on Louisiana Tech, 888-993-7762, the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. Jason, 0-2 in Florida.
Yeah, and we talked last week how, you know, I mentioned FIU was like 8-9 at the time. You know, they were an average team, but they had a lot of size up front. That was the first game of the trip. You know, Tech was favoring that game, but I could see where that might be a little trap game. I was worried about that one a little bit, but I felt like Tech should win. But then the next three games on the schedule are teams that are really bad, and FAU was the weakest of all three. And you would think, you know, hey, no problem. Tech gets up to a big lead, and then –
what was it, 32-7?
Yeah, and lose 63-61. So, you know, blowing a big lead early and then just not being able to score there for a long time in the second half. You know, it's like there's just a big lock put on the basket or something, and that just was tough, especially, you know, Coach Conker go back to the state of Florida, getting to practice at the Miami facility there, and, you know, kind of like a unofficial homecoming. To lose both of those games was really tough. So really need to bounce back. No game Thursday, but they play at Southern Miss on Saturday, who actually had a couple of wins.
Beat Old Dominion after the Tech lost to them. So.
Yeah, and then turned around and beat Florida International. So Southern Miss has won 2 out of 3, and beating two teams that beat Tech. So, you know, Southern Miss, you know, will be gunning for Tech down there in Hattiesburg.
Especially since Tech did what did to them at home, what they did, 87-57 inside the Thomas Assembly Center.
Yeah.
That's not how bad Southern Miss is, and that's not how good Louisiana Tech is. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with Steve. What's going on, my friend?
What's up, fellas? How y'all this evening?
All right. What's on your mind?
Hey, I usually jump at the opportunity to talk about Tech basketball, but, man, blowing that lead the other night was just, you know, unbelievable. Who is this team? And, you know, to hold somebody to 16 points in the first half and then lose, that's not what I called to talk about. I was in a meeting yesterday, got a text from a friend of mine who, back in the our day, played at LSU, and he sends me a text about the Abraham kid from Oxford, and he just happens to know his dad and his granddad. And so I was in a meeting and didn't really get a chance to check into it, but to be, I checked this kid out, and he's got Drew Brees kind of numbers coming out of high school. Have y'all seen 5,000 yards passing his senior season? 57 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, and back-to-back-to-back state championship games. They lost all 3 games, and this last one he threw for 550 yards, 4 touchdowns, and their kicker missed an extra point and 5 field goals.
Yeah, I mean, that's 2 years in a row Tech's gone into Mississippi and pulled out, you know, stud quarterbacks.
3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Alex Woodall.
Count Alex Woodall, too. But Jamar Smith last year signed with Tech after throwing 0 interceptions his senior year, playing for Meridian, who's another really good team over there. So, I mean, you know, in this day and age, you never know what competition teams are playing, and these spread offenses and everybody doing the system, you know, you might see 100 touchdowns 1 year. Who knows? But so you never know how to judge the numbers. But Abraham on film is definitely impressive, and that's why he got the offers he did. And Tech's lucky to have him.
Steve, I know you're a big Saints fan, and he compares himself and he tries to model himself after your man Drew Brees. So you think you made a good comparison there? And I don't know if you saw this statistic, but he threw for 12,000 yards in his high school career.
That's incredible. I don't think Drew put up those kind of numbers in high school. I don't know. But, you know, this guy's 6'195", but so is Drew Brees. So that doesn't scare me, but that's a far cry from what we've had at quarterback the last few years. But I was also impressed that California was very interested in this kid as well. And we are pretty familiar with that coaching staff. So guys, it just tickles me that Louisiana Tech is beginning to attract these kind of guys who know that they can come in here, throw the ball, have great receivers, and go to a bowl game and win it. We've come a long way, my friends.
We agree, Steve. Appreciate the phone call.
Absolutely, fellas.
Yeah, Tech's had a lot of success recruiting in Mississippi. We talked about, you know, Jamar Smith last year, and Jordan Bradford, the defensive tackle, has shown a lot of promise. Could start next year as a true sophomore, but if not, he's going to definitely be one of the top 3 or 4 guys in that defensive tackle rotation. But it all started back 4 years ago with one Vernon Butler. And
nice segue there.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, I'm learning this radio business a little bit there.
We're just 8 years into this. It's like, yeah. We know. It's kind of like we know what we're doing.
I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit here. I've written an article the last 2 years, preseason, talking about Vernon Butler will be an NFL defensive tackle. He'll be drafted in the first 3 or 4 rounds. And now he's getting talked about as a second rounder. And now he's getting talked about as a potential first rounder. He and Dixon both have been listed as top 50 potential prospects. So, I mean, Butler coming in and having the success he's had shows that you do not have to go to an SEC school to get noticed as a defensive lineman or as a football player in general. If you're good, they will find you, and you can go in the first round. He's had numerous opportunities to play in front of scouts, on TV, in bowl games, so everybody knows who he is now. And they had a visitor this past weekend, Kadarian Mason, from the same county, Pike County, Mississippi.
In the Macomb, Mississippi.
Yeah, in Macomb area. You know, Mason visited, and, you know, obviously you would think would look up to Vernon Butler. And
what's his picture that he posted on Twitter during his visit was inside the locker room next to a huge picture of Vernon Butler.
Yeah, and
he gets it.
He gets it, and he's committed to Southern Miss right now. They've got 2 other Mississippi defensive ends they're recruiting. And
he's got Kentucky offer. He's got an Illinois offer. He's got some Power 5 offers to go along with the Southern Miss commitment.
Yeah, and this is a 6'5", 250-pound end that Tech could swing because of the success Vernon Butler has. So it's definitely paying dividends, the work that Tech has put in recruiting Mississippi, when just 7 or 8 years ago we were always talking about how there was no recruiting in Arkansas, and there was really no recruiting in Mississippi outside of a couple of, like, I think Will Taylor was an offensive lineman from Mississippi. There was another one from Southern Mississippi that was here for a couple of years and left. But really, no work being put into Mississippi. And then Stan Egan went down there and recruited Vernon. And then it's just blown up since then.
You look at some things that have been said about Vernon in the his breakdowns in preparation for the draft. His versatility, much like Kenneth Dixon's versatility, is what scouts really like. He can play the nose. He can play three technique. I think they're calling the nose a five technique. So he can play either position. He moves back and forth between both positions.
Oh, and he's just a great athlete. I heard a
6'3", 330, and his vertical's got to be 30-something, which is unbelievable for somebody 6'3", 330.
Oh, and I believe he's 6'4", barefoot. He's tall. I mean, I'm 6'7", and he's looking at me almost eye to eye. And I remember a conversation 2 years ago I heard between he and Mitchell Bell. They were talking about who was the best athlete on the team, and both of them thought it was themselves. And Mitchell's very outspoken. He's like, I am the best athlete on the team, pound for pound. Nobody can match up with me. And Mitchell went on to the NFL. So,
and there was a video that surfaced. You see the video that Fox Sports got. I don't know if they got it from the Raiders or not, but there was a dance-off between Mitchell Bell and another player.
Oh, boy.
And two big heavy lunches getting after it in a big hotel lobby.
And Bell's definitely a heavy lunch, but you know, Vernon is just, Bell's a super athlete, but he's got some extra fat on him. Vernon doesn't. I mean, no. He's like carved out of the granite, and he's 6'3", 6'4", 330 pounds, but moves so well, long arms. I mean, he's exactly what the NFL wants, and so that's why, like I said, doesn't matter where you play in college, they will find you.
Jason, when I was at the bowl game on the field, you see all the wire services for photographers from USA Today to AP to Getty to all those guys. I run into the Getty Images guy who just happens to be friends with Donald Page, who's the athletic photographer at the University of Tennessee, a Louisiana Tech alum. And I said, yes, Kenneth Dixon will get drafted. But the guy that nobody's talking about, if you want to get your picture showing up somewhere for a surprise, Vernon Butler will be the highest draft pick. And the guy looked at me like I was crazy. Vernon's, like we said, projected this week by NFL.com as a first-round pick to the Seattle Seahawks, the 26th or 29th overall pick. And then Kenneth Dixon is not in the first round, but people expect him third or fifth round.
Yeah, and he could go as high as, you know, late second, early third.
I thought somebody made a good point on the message board this week that because of all the injuries to running backs this year in the NFL, there could be a run on running backs. If there's a run on running backs early, that helps Kenneth Dixon.
It does, and it's been bad the last few years. You know, it's not the days where Emmitt Smith's going to be picked, you know, right there at the top and be your franchise back. They don't put the money into the running backs anymore. The way the offenses are, it's left tackle, it's receiver, it's corner.
Quarterback.
And then obviously, yeah, quarterback, and then the defensive line. And so with that value put at defensive tackle, Vernon's stock is going through the roof. But Kenneth is still so versatile. He can block, he can catch, he can do everything, and he's big. He's not a little scat back. He'll be able to hold up physically in the NFL. I feel like he'll have a chance to go higher than the you know, fourth or fifth round. I really think he'll probably go in the third.
This segment brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents and also our title sponsor of Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. After this break, we'll have Johnny Hill, recently retired head coach of Oxford High School in Mississippi, here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jason and I. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, presented by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go see those guys for all your interior decorating needs in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in the historic downtown Ruston. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with Johnny Hill of Oxford High School. Coach, well, first off, congratulations on the recent retirement.
Well, thank you. It's been real enjoyable so far. It's good to wake up and don't have to go to work every day, so it's been a pleasure.
You're about 3 weeks in, correct?
That's great.
Well, good deal. Well, Coach, of course, Louisiana Tech has one signee from Oxford and then a commitment from Oxford as well. So we figured we'd get you on the radio here and talk a little bit about your former players and Jack Abraham and Zach Kuser. Let's start with Zach. Just talk about him as in general as a player and then as a person.
Well, Zach Kowser. He's a good one. He's a big boy. You know, he's 6'4", 6'5"-ish, and he's got great hands. His ability to block. He does a good job for us. He's been, you know, he's been a kind of a. We've had trouble with receivers outside, and he was a guy in the middle, and they forget about him, and we would, you know, hurt him with him. But he's a good player, good kid, or a good young man, I guess I should say, and I think they will do well with him.
And then, of course, you've got DK Metcalf, who is the outside receiver you're talking about from that's committed to Ole Miss there in town. But your signal caller – and Jack Abraham, a former Tulane commitment, now Louisiana Tech signee, he's put up a few yards there underneath your offense.
I can sit here all day and tell you how good he is. He's really a fantastic football player, quarterback. He's a coach's dream. Makes great decisions. It's all about the team. He puts the team above himself. He's a playmaker. Anticipation is great. You know, a lot of times as a spectator or coaches, you look at, okay, he's this fast, he's this tall, he can throw it 70 yards. But Jack's kind of he's that guy that throws the ball. He's very accurate. Very accurate. Very on time. The ball's not going to be late. He knows where it needs to go, and he can pull the trigger. He's got a quick release. I've been coaching 40 years, and I've coached some really good quarterbacks, and I've never seen one quite like this one.
Coach, were you surprised that the in-town school of Ole Miss didn't, especially in their spread offense, didn't come after Jack?
Well, I guess I would say I am, but one thing that they do more so than they want a quarterback that's a runner that can throw. They want to have that running threat to get the numbers to make you have to play them on it so they can throw. And we've never ran a Jack that much. He can. He moves around the pocket. Again, he makes great decisions when he does. But that's just not – they wanted a little bigger quarterback that can run a little bit more than what Jack has been doing.
I got you. When you look at Jack's numbers, and I talked to somebody who wouldn't watch DK in a game, and he said, I honestly couldn't stop watching Jack Abraham because of Jack's ability to really take control of the game, and he said that it was obvious that his football IQ is through the roof.
Yeah, unbelievable. And that's what, with all the intangible qualities that you look for in a quarterback, he's got. And I can't get over the leadership. His temperament is great. When he gets the crap knocked out of him, he's right back up, and he don't blink. He just goes right back to work, hangs in the pocket. I know one time he got he got hurt and he finished the game out. That's just kind of the kid he is. He's very competitive and he wants to win and he's a winner.
And then you hear people talk about how receivers make quarterbacks. The way you talk about it, it sounds like Jack probably makes DK and Zach all the better of receivers.
Well, it's a combination of things, as you well know. Quarterback ain't very good if he's on his back all night long, so you got to have a good offensive line up there. You can throw the football and hit them in the chest. If they don't catch it, it's incomplete. Or they tip it up and it gets picked. They don't say the receiver picked it off. They just say the quarterback threw a pick. So it's a team thing. But he's going to hold his end of the bargain up. I can promise you that.
Coaching that triangle between Jackson, Memphis, and Birmingham, where Oxford sits kind of in the top corner of that triangle, there's a lot of talented football players coming out the last few years between Oxford and Meridian and Starkville and the Panola schools over there at Batesville right down the road from you. What, talk about just the talent level. It seems like the there's a lot of good talent coming out of that that triangle the last couple of years.
It has been. There's been a lot of really good football players. We've got, you mentioned DK and Kowser. I've got another receiver, Jimmy Greaser, that moved in from Arkansas, and he's 6'3", 6'4", and runs well and catches well. Presley was a really good one, too. So we had a really good nucleus of receivers and some good linemen. So it was we had a really good year this year and didn't end out the way we wanted it to end out, but I was real pleased with the effort.
And do you feel like being in a college town changes anything, like as far as your players seeing those college athletes on a regular basis? Does that just give them more of an idea of how hard they need to work to get to the next level?
Not really, because we don't have a whole lot of, they'll see them on Saturdays when they go to the game, but they don't see them practicing. They don't really see them on the square, that kind of stuff. But I do think it shows the involvement of football in this community, and I think that does help.
Coach, whenever you look back over your years of coaching, what are you going to miss the most when the season comes back and maybe even spring football comes?
Friday night's a lot of fun. It's really, but I enjoy the preparation for Friday night. It's kind of like putting a plan together and preparing for that plan, and then making it happen on Friday night. And it's really good when your plan comes together and works, and you feel like you've accomplished something.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio and giving us some insight on Zach and Jack. Great stuff, and good luck. Good luck in your retirement.
Thank you. I think you got some good ones. Listen, I played at Chattanooga many years ago, 71 through 74, I guess it was, 75, and I know Louisiana Tech is a really good football program.
That was definitely the golden years of Tech football.
I played against Pat Tilly and Dwayne Barber and Quick Six. That's what we call him, Quick Six.
Charles McDaniel.
Charles McDaniel.
He can run now. he can play. Pat Tilly, we ain't covered him yet. And he's not that fast, but we ain't covered him yet.
Well, that's the golden era of Louisiana Tech football. So good things there, bringing up that past. There's plenty of Louisiana Tech fans that love hearing talk about that.
All right. See you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
Thank you, bud.
Johnny Hill, outgoing head coach, recently retired head coach of Oxford High School in Mississippi, the Chargers of Oxford High School. Good stuff from Coach on Jack Abraham and Zach Kowser here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, a little recruiting, Jason. What do you say?
Let's do it.
An hour episode tonight, so two more segments, all football recruiting. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you each and every week by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, your destination for all things inside your home. In the historic Rogers Furniture Building, they've got it all just for you. Jason, Tech picked up a couple of more commitments this past weekend, as we expected. And a couple of signees, all since the last Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We talked about Jack Abraham. We'll talk more about Jack Abraham because you can't talk enough about him. Damarian King, a safety out of Allen Hancock Community College in Santa Maria, California, a native of Muscle Shoals, Alabama. That's a story in and of itself. How in the world does a guy from Muscle Shoals, Alabama, end up at Allen Hancock Community College in Santa Maria, California?
Yeah, I mean,
probably because there's not enough junior colleges in the South.
Well, there's so many.
We talked about that in the break.
There's so many junior colleges in Mississippi, Texas, and Kansas that a lot of the kids go there. But California's got some of the best talent. So a lot of the kids from down here will go over there just to try to play against the best. There's in sheer numbers, there's more California junior college football players than the rest of the country combined.
So those were two of the commitments. Third one being Israel Tucker out of Rummel High School in Metairie, a 5'9", 190-pound running back. Good get for Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, and speaking of Allen Hancock.
Former Stephen F. Austin commitment.
Speaking of Allen Hancock, that's where former Tech receiver Scott Cathcart played junior college ball. So Tech has recruited that school once before. But yeah,
Look at you just dropping the knowledge on folks.
Well, and Tucker, I was going to say, reminds me so much of Daniel Porter, not just on the field, which other people have brought up in our Bleed Tech Blue forums, but also just the fact that the last minute Porter was committed to Southeastern Louisiana and Tech flipped him. And now you've got a kid from Rummel, an in-state running back, committed to Stephen F. Austin that Tech flipped. And, you know, if he has half the career that Daniel Porter had, it'd be a good pickup for sure.
Daniel Porter, they look the same physically. That's about the size that Daniel Porter was. Good get for Louisiana Tech. And, of course, we talked about this at the end of last week's show. John Randall Belton, a quarterback from West Monroe High School, also committed to Louisiana Tech. So two quarterbacks in this class for Louisiana Tech. Jason, that is completely out of the ordinary.
It is, but with all the quarterbacks that have moved on the last couple of years, taking two senior transfers in a row that are both moved on, Andy McElinden trains positions, he's moving out. Ron Higgins is going to be a fifth-year senior. So you don't have a whole lot of depth at the position in town right now. Also, another one changed positions to tight end, Alex Woodall. So now you've really only got three young quarterbacks in the kill, you know, coming up. And so and then you've also got Belton's, you know, injury history. You're taking a risk with him. And even if
three significant injuries,
yeah,
for those that don't know, two torn ACLs and a broken ankle, I believe.
And I mean, he's good enough. He's obviously worth taking the risk. He's going to be a good locker room guy too. But Abraham is just so good, you can't pass him up. And so, you know, and it looks like, you know, they both understand what's going on, and they're not mad about it. They are ready to come in and compete. You're always going to have quarterbacks to compete with. It doesn't matter if they signed the class before you, the same year as you, or the year after. So, hey, you've got to be confident in your abilities and come try to win the job.
We talk about quarterback, we'll go to offensive line. There's a couple of highlights in that group. We do think a junior college offensive lineman is yet to be gotten for Louisiana Tech. We think that's coming. Likely a right tackle, or because you look at the depth at tackle for Louisiana Tech right now, and there's not a ton. So that position is coming. You look at the interior alignment that Louisiana Tech has committed, and Taylor Fondle, Kennedy Madison, and Cody Rusi from Burleson, Texas, Madison from Ouachita High School in Monroe, and Taylor Fondle from Westgate High School in New Iberia. Fondle certainly looks the part.
Yeah, I mean, he's big. He's listed at 300 pounds, but I have a feeling he's probably more like 320. And then also, you talked about Jack Abraham signing early. Also, Drew Melanson from Hondrill.
True. Forgot about that one.
6'4", 280. And
the son of a former LSU Tiger and a doctor.
Madison's, you know, another big kid. I feel like a lot of these guys are so versatile. You can see a lot of them playing center or guard or even right tackle. So I don't know how many of them are, you know, going to be tall enough to play left tackle. You know, it seems like your prototypical left tackle, 6'5", 6'6", kind of longer. But
what was the video, Jason? What was Cody Rusi? What was he doing? And was it a power clean?
I don't remember. I didn't watch it. I remember it looked like he was doing like a deadlift or a power clean or something.
Deadlift. It was a deadlift. He lifted 700 pounds, folks, in deadlift.
Yeah, unbelievable. I saw the video before you click on it. You know, I saw him getting ready to do something with it. Looked like a lot of weight, but I don't even want to watch it because that just makes my back hurt.
But there are plenty of programs around the country, Power 5 programs included. The majority of them will not have an incoming freshman that can lift, that can deadlift 700 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, he's very impressive, and I feel like he'll have a chance to come in and play right away. And it, you know, he might sit out with a redshirt year. A lot of times you want your offensive lineman to take that redshirt year, although O'Shea Dugas did not this past year. They needed him, and he got plugged right in right away. He had a little bit of an injury, you know, bug that hit Tech. But even if he redshirts, I feel like that's just going to get him that much stronger, and he'll be probably starting as a redshirt freshman.
We heard Coach Hill talking about Zach Kuzer, the tight end Louisiana Tech has committed, which is a position Tech hasn't had true tight ends in a really long time.
Speaking of Coach Hill, 1969, Tech beat Chattanooga 23-7.
This is killing Jason.
1970, Tech beat them 28-3. And 1971, Tech beat them 35-20. So they played them 3 years in a row there in that little time frame. I had to look that up. Thanks. There you go.
That was killing him. Was it bugging you that much?
Oh, man. Yeah. I needed to know. But apparently they were both in the
John Gulf. And I had already moved on.
They must have been both in the Gulf States Conference, or that was just a non-conference game that they decided to play.
I would imagine, seriously, that it was a conference game back in the Division II days before FCS existed.
Yeah, definitely.
But the tight end, Kuzer, you look at the picture that was tweeted by Jack Abraham of the two of them during their official visit last week, and Tech had the majority of their official – I think almost all of their official visitors in, all of their commitments in for official visits this past weekend. And there's been a running joke on BleedTechBlue.com this week that about Abraham's height, and Coach Hill made reference to it. He's not the tallest guy in the world. He was measured at a Nike Spark event at 5'11 and a half, and they don't lie on those, do they, Jason?
No.
So 5'11 and a half, 200 pounds, 190 pounds. Yeah. He's big enough.
And 5'11 and a half might be with shoes on, so maybe he's 5'10, 5'11.
Hey, guess
who
what?
Cares?
They play in shoes.
Exactly. Hey,
Shoeless Joe Jackson is not playing for Louisiana Tech.
He'd probably be a pretty tough football player, though. In the forums this week, somebody mentioned, I think it was Reggie Cleveland, they said that they feel like he looks more like he's 220 than the 180-pound safety that he's listed as. And that just makes me think, we've talked about in the forums the last couple of years how it seems like there haven't been a lot of linebackers signed or developed. You've seen a lot of defensive backs like Lloyd Grogan or Michael Mims move up to linebacker to help fill the void. But this year they've got a lot of linebackers signed. You were going through the positions. Devin Hamilton, 6'1", 215 out of Washington Marion. Thomas Kletcher was the JUCO that came in from Fullerton, 6'1", 225. And then Eric Kinzior. I don't know.
Kinzer.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
His dad corrected me via email last week, and I appreciate the email. Awesome. Kinzer.
I need so much help with pronunciation. So, LaPorte, Texas. Texas continue to kill it down there in that southeast Texas area.
I think Eric Kinzer actually becomes a D-end.
Yeah, he's pretty big, 6'3", 235. But if he moves up, it sounds like Cleveland at 6'1", 6'1", maybe if he really is 215, 220, he can move up into that linebacker spot. And Tech's proven by moving some of these safeties up that those kind of tweeners, they're trying to get more speed on the field. So moving these guys from safety up to linebacker, that gives you your entire back seven, guys that are better able to cover, which you need when you're playing all these spread offenses.
So you look at the even defensive backs. You've got David Beasley out of Pine Bluff.
Who is taking his visit to Memphis along with his teammate John Tate. So we'll see how that goes. But
he told us that he's pretty set on Louisiana Tech and expects to sign with Tech. So he's 6'1", 187, a safety. Julian Chandler at a Hightower High School in the Houston area, Missouri City, 5'11", 165, prototypical corner size. Then you talked about Reggie Cleveland, and then Zach Hannibal at Wichita had a phenomenal senior season. His dad was a basketball player at Louisiana Tech. He's only played, I think this was his second year playing football, at 6'170". He's probably a little heavier than that now. he's going to be a player for Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, and some great football names coming in. You've got LT, Ladarius Thomas coming from Monroe, and Hannibal coming from Monroe. So we got a couple
Israel good, Tucker.
Got a couple, you know, got some good football names. Yeah, you get this past week commitments from King, Abraham, and Israel. That's pretty good. Get some biblical names there.
Did you see that I led my title as King and Abraham? So because of King Abraham, I didn't start with Abraham because he was the bigger. You can't miss out on the opportunity to use King Abraham.
Oh, no doubt. And you know, I agree with Hannibal though. I mean, a legacy kid. You know, his dad played basketball here, I believe, in the late '80s, and back when, you know, Tech was still going to the NCAA tournament every other year. And so, you know, just to be able to have a kid come back, you know, that's really cool. One legacy kid that we've talked about all year, Gerard Sanders, visited Air Force. His dad is Glenn L. Sanders, former Tech linebacker from the late 80s, early 90s. From over in the Dallas area, he's visited Air Force. He told us he didn't know where he's going to visit next. At one time, Tech and the Northwestern Wildcats of the Big Ten were kind of his top two teams, but Tech's filling up, so we don't know how that's going to shake out. So we'll continue to keep monitoring that situation.
You look at defensive line for Louisiana Tech, Willie Baker, the highlight of the class at a Livonia High School, 6'4", 235, offers from everybody, and Tech has held on. Michigan, Auburn, A&M, Tech. He is the highlight of the class.
Yeah, definitely. And at a position where Tech could use some depth. You've got Ferguson and Canty coming back, but behind them, you've got question marks.
Edarga was having a really good year before he tore his ACL.
Before he got hurt. And then really, the only other depth was really young. You know, you had Brandon Brinson, who redshirted.
Emmanuel Turner, who
did play some as a true freshman. So Turner would be back, but Baker could come in and compete for a backup spot right away. And with Canty not redshirting at all, he's already entering his junior year. So, you know, there'll be plenty of opportunities for Baker to start, even if he doesn't start as a true freshman. But he'll definitely be playing, I believe, from day one.
And then another D tackle from the state of Mississippi, Julius Turner out of Meridian High School, 6'2", 275. The pictures, he looks a lot heavier than 275 these days.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to talk to Coach Hill about. I noticed they played Starkville this year, but I didn't know if they ever played Meridian the last couple of years. But it just seems like those three schools have put out a ton of recruits this year.
And the irony is that Jamar Smith, quarterback for Meridian last year, his dad was an NFL defensive tackle and played D tackle at Alabama, and here Tech is getting a D tackle from his alma mater, Meridian High School. So yeah. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we're gonna go through that list and give you our top picks for who contributes the most and who could contribute the quickest, and then also how we see Tech finishing out the 2016 signing class. We're presented by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher at BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones, analyst on BleedTechBlue.com, joining us like he does every week. Jason, how did I forget the biggest storyline of the last week? Probably because I wrote about it so much that I'm just ready for it to be over with.
Yeah, I think you've got a little bit of mind block. That's what makes me a good co-host. I remind you take care of the big picture, and then I kind of fill in the edges.
Tech got a couple of coaches last week.
Yeah, Mickey Joseph, running backs coach, coming over from Grambling, so he didn't have to move very far. And
the
then,
cousin of Terry Joseph, former Louisiana Tech recruiting coordinator, and now Texas A&M defensive backs coach.
And he's a relative of NFL football assistant Vance Joseph, so a lot of football coaching in the Joseph family. And then also coming back, Kevin Curtis, former defensive backs coach or corners coach.
Corners.
You know, Texas Tech graduate, coached here under Dykes, and he's been back at Texas Tech coaching for a couple of years at least, and now he's coming back.
Since Kingsbury got there.
Yeah, so he's back. Back in the saddle here in Ruston, so that'll be good, bringing in some familiarity. But, you know, I think it was two good hires and perfect timing because you had to get some guys in there before signing day, and these guys are familiar with the area and familiar with the recruits. I mean, Curtis knew about all the Louisiana recruits anyway, just being next door in Texas. So,
And then Joseph recruiting the state of Louisiana and being a New Orleans guy was a quarterback at Nebraska,
right before Tommy Frazier, I believe.
Probably before before the days of recruiting rankings, but would have been probably the number one quarterback coming out of high school that year.
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska back then was like a top five program, or maybe the number one program.
I think Lou Holtz recruited him. I mean, whenever he was at Notre Dame, I mean, this guy was the bee's knees.
Yeah, and I believe they won the championship in like 91 or so, or 92 with Tommy Frazier, and he was the quarterback right before that.
We won't talk about how old I was then.
Yeah. That was when Nebraska was one of the elite programs in the country. But two really good hires there. There's still one offensive staff position to fill. And there's all kinds of names. We can speculate, we can guess, but I mean, Skip Holtz knows so many coaches. He's always going to find somebody that we hadn't thought about, and so it'd probably be pointless to speculate.
And when you look at Louisiana Tech, where have assistants gone from Louisiana Tech?
It's amazing. I mean, you've seen USC.
That's where Ronnie Bradford went.
I mean, that was unbelievable. Then Texas Tech, you know, Jabbar Jaluke.
And Stan Eggen went to Iowa State.
Eric, East Carolina. I'm sorry.
Eric Peterson went to East Carolina. Jeff Koons went to Cincinnati.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you lose assistants to the bigger schools that can pay more, I mean, you understand you're doing something right. And so, I mean, and
it's not like – here's a segue. I'm learning this radio thing, too. It's not like UTSA hiring – or Western Kentucky having their cornerbacks and special teams coach hired away by UTSA.
Yeah, no,
making a completely lateral move down to San Antonio from Bowling Green.
Yeah, and
Brumfield.
Ricky Brumfield was a coach that I'd mentioned that might be looked at for cornerbacks at Tech. He's a New Orleans native, and Skip Holtz has proven that he'll hire from inside the conference. He hired Matt Moore from Middle Tennessee and Peterson from Marshall, you know, 3 years ago. So when you're poaching coaches from your rival schools in your conference, you know, that says a lot, and I feel like UTSA did a good job of picking up Brumfield, and they also hired Joe Golding, the safeties coach at Southern Miss. They just hired. So,
and if you're living,
but he's going to be the defensive coordinator, so he's taking a promotion.
If you're living under a rock, LSU recruiting coordinator and running backs coach Frank Wilson was hired at UTSA. Now there are three New Orleans recruiters on the UTSA staff. Frank Wilson, Henderson from Oklahoma State was a GA at Oklahoma State.
Now he's the defensive line coach.
And Brumfield from Western Kentucky.
And I believe Joe Golding is from Hammond, Louisiana. I think I read that.
Think they might recruit South Louisiana?
Yeah, they're gonna try to hit Southeast Louisiana especially really hard. So we'll see how that works out for UTSA. Tech has run across UTSA in recruiting a couple of times, but there was like, you know, mostly it's East Texas, Dallas area kids.
Central Texas.
So, they haven't come over into Louisiana very much. New Orleans to San Antonio is a pretty long way. So
that's an understatement. It's probably 9 hours, I would guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't feel like they're going to be able to come in there and recruit against Tech or Southern Miss or Tulane very well. You know, the first couple of years, you know, Frank Wilson's name is going to carry a lot of weight. But when you start getting into these kids that are 8th and 9th grade, 4 years from now, you know, they won't know who Frank
Eight
Wilson
hours.
Is.
8 hours, 3 minutes, says Google Maps.
So, I mean, I guess start going west and floor it and see how long.
That's all I-10. Don't leave I-10. But, Jason, let's go through that recruiting class and let's just hit the high points on who you think are most apt to make a impact in their first 2 years on campus.
Well, I mean, just start off the top of Jack Abraham, just because he's coming in for spring football and the quarterback position to me is wide open. So he's got to have at least a puncher's chance of getting in there.
I don't see him starting early. I think it's Ryan Higgins' job to start early because he is the redshirt senior.
He's the only one that's played
any FBS games.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess Bryce Wilson handed the ball off a couple of times this year.
Yeah, he's the only one that's had meaningful snaps. So, you know, yeah, he's got to be the favorite. But just because Higgins hadn't been the starter for 2 years, the other two guys are really young. I feel like you got to say Abraham's got at least a chance. We talked about Baker, very high profile recruit. There's not a lot of depth at defensive end.
He will play next year.
He's got to. And then
I think Zach Kauser plays next year. And of course, we talked a good bit about him out of Oxford. He's already 6'4" and a half and about and over 220 pounds. So you got to think he plays. I think he moves to Ruston in June, so he'll have all summer to get bigger with Kurt Hester.
Now, an interesting position is the offensive line, because you've got a lot of guys coming back. They're going to be seniors. Darryl Brown, Joseph Brunson,
Kirby Wixon,
and David Mahaffey. So you've got a couple of young guys in the mix too, with Dugas,
Shane Carpenter,
and I'm forgetting the guard from the Dallas area. I believe he was.
Oh yeah, Deontay McCready.
Yeah, McCready. So you've got two or three young guys in there coming up. You've got a couple of younger offensive tackles. Lovett and Rodriguez. So you don't have to play any of these true freshmen, but at the same time, when you're losing all those seniors, Ethan Reed's going to be a second-year freshman, center or guard. You don't have to play any of these true freshmen, but it wouldn't hurt if one of them was ready, kind of like Dugas was this year. It wouldn't hurt to go ahead and play one of them just to get their feet wet, because you don't want to have five different guys that have never played, all redshirt freshmen. Hey, this is our first time to play, and trying to count on them in 2017, when that's going to be a big year for Tech with seven home games.
So that's a position that somebody could. I don't know who you look at. Yeah, I mean, probably Taylor Fondle would be the one that immediately I say, because he's the most ready physically. Cody Roosie is obviously the strongest of the bunch. I've seen people think he's a center. Some people who think he's a guard. I think he's a pulling guard because of how athletic he is.
Yeah, and
he's
so,
a mauler.
Yeah, one of those would probably be, I think you're right, one of the chances to play right away. I think
Kennedy Madison's coming off an injury this year, so you wouldn't expect him to.
Yeah,
Drew Malonsaw's here. Will be here for spring, so he's one that you to watch, and he could play tackle because he's 6'4".
And then obviously the JC guys, Demarion King and Thomas Clutcher, will play. They were brought in for a reason.
With the departure of Kentrell Bryce to graduation, you got to think Demarion King has a good shot at starting at strong safety, and then Thomas Clutcher has a really good shot to start at middle linebacker.
He'll be pushing, for that starting spot. He's got a little bit of competition, obviously, but he'll have a chance. And there's young guys at middle linebacker, so he'll be competing against young guys. And then at safety, I mean, Grogan can move back to safety if needed. And then
I think he kind of embraced that linebacker role.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's moving.
I don't think he is either, but he could if they needed him to. And then Cedric Cooper is the guy that is probably the next man up at that position, so that would be who King competes with. But Cooper's big enough he could play some linebacker. So you've got some versatility there. King could play corner, too, if needed. But
Theron Williams back there behind Xavier Woods for Xavier Woods' senior year.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get a chance to get a little playing time and be ready for the following year. So, and then, there's no receivers in this class, but there's so many defensive backs. David Beasley played both ways. You know, I feel like Beasley could be a receiver if they needed him to be, and he would be a really good one. So we'll kind of keep our eye on that in the spring and see if he gets any looks on offense.
Jason, how do you see Louisiana Tech closing this class out? Sorry, I confused myself there for a second.
I feel like they're looking for two more JC guys. You know, Holtz has stayed away from the JC guys for a couple of years, and so he's got a ton of depth on his roster. He's really rebuilt the roster and done a good job of building the depth up. But with losing so many seniors, especially on defense, he doesn't want to go into it with, you know, a whole lot of freshmen, redshirt freshmen, second-year sophomores, you know, competing for all these spots. So he wants to get some more competition in here, get some more veteran guys. And so we talked about the JUCO defensive back and the JUCO middle linebacker, but we could also see a defensive end. We know they're looking out there trying to see who's still available, who the best ones are, and trying to get them in on visits. So I feel like we're pretty sure a JUCO defensive end's coming, and then probably a JUCO offensive tackle. There's so much depth at guard right now.
Or two deep tackles.
Yeah. Or there's so many guards on the roster, but offensive tackle, I mean, really, Darryl Brown and Shane Carpenter are the only two that have played a lot. And so you're going to be relying on some really young guys or trying to move some guards over. So to get some tackles in there, I feel like you'll see, you know, at least one, if not
maybe a couple of high school defensive backs.
Yeah, well, and high school
D end if they can get Kadarian Mason in the boat.
Yeah, you know, I think, and they had Lloyd Cushenberry, offensive tackle, guard or tackle, another guard maybe, but I think he could play right tackle. He visited last weekend. Dutchtown?
He's Dutchtown, South Carolina commitment.
Yeah, he's a South Carolina commitment.
Visiting Mississippi State this weekend.
I mean, he visited. He would be a huge commitment, and I think somebody like he or Mason at defensive end, they'll find a way to take a kid like that if they can get him. And so that's going to continue to build depth at those positions.
They're knocking on 25's door.
Yeah, even if you get a JUCO defensive end and a JUCO tackle, I think they would still take either of those high school kids, because whenever you take JUCOs, you know they're going to be gone in 2 years. It's good to get a high school kid in there with them to take over 2 years later. But, yeah, I mean, so we're sitting at 19. JC, offensive tackle, and defensive end would be 21. If you get high school kids at those positions, you're at 23.
And if you take a JUCO – another JUCO tackle, you're at 24.
And then possibly a high school defensive back could be 25. So, yeah, I mean, if they take every single spot that they want, but they're not just
And
gonna,
they can't count any towards black. I mean, they've got three signees already, but because they were full last year, they can't count anybody back to 2015.
Yeah, and Holtz doesn't like to sign 25. He likes to hold them in case somebody – you know, a transfer works out in the spring, or if somebody goes unsigned and pops up that they come across that they really like, he always wants to leave a spot or two open.
And we're getting close. We're really in that time frame where you start hearing about transfers for Louisiana Tech. I mean, the semester system schools are just starting. So this is the point where they're not re-enrolling. And people are starting to realize, well, hey, look, Johnny's not at school X anymore. I wonder where he's going. He's from Calhoun. I wonder if he's going to Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, and so
that was a safe one because Calhoun has West Washita.
So, you know, I mean, if they've got 19 commitments and he doesn't like to sign 25, do I think he'll fill all six spots? Probably not, but you know, a week ago I was convinced they were probably just going to sign 21 or 22. Now I feel like probably 23, maybe 24, even if everything falls in line. You know, Keandre Thomas, well, a one-time Tech commit, now Minnesota commit, did come visit. So, you know, he and Cushenberry might be long shots. Who knows? They've got some big schools on them.
I would say Cushenberry is a less than a 20% chance. I would say Thomas is less than a 40% chance.
So, I mean, you can't really count on those. So, if you don't get those, you're sitting at probably 23. Are there any other high school offensive tackles out there that I've seen any kind of
action on Tech?
Action from Tech? No. What about defensive back? You know, I'm looking through the offer list, cornerback and safety. I mean, we haven't heard anything out of Andre Wiley or Corey Lane from East Texas. One's from Nacogdoches, one's from Texarkana. You know, cornerback.
Let's go to the Fairway Cards Amendment Hotline for the last caller of the day. We're up against the break, so we can't talk real long, Bill, but what's on your mind?
Hey, guys, I'm just now tuning in the last few minutes, listening to the update. What about the two kids from Texas Tech that visit this weekend? Have y'all already mentioned them, or the two linemen from Texas Tech?
Yeah, no commitment yet on either one of them. I think one of them is originally from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I think that North Texas is in the mix for one of those just so he can play closer to home. The other one, I think, is originally from the Georgia area. I think Tech's probably got a better shot at him than the other. So that's something to watch for sure. It could be one of those JUCO offensive tackles for Louisiana Tech.
Info. Hey, good job, guys. Thank y'all.
Thanks, Bill.
So, I mean, you know, there's been some guys at safety or corner that Tech's been involved with that you might see pop up here at the last minute.
But it's not. It's going to be somebody that they don't feel like they cannot – they have to take. It's,
yeah. They're not going to take somebody.
They don't have to have somebody.
Yeah. And I don't see any other high school defensive ends really besides Kendarian Mason. We talked about John Tate is visiting Memphis.
I think he ends up at Boise personally.
Yeah, I mean, he's been Demaria Crockett's been recruiting him so hard all year long. I think Tate's going to end up at Boise.
And he's
as well.
Really, and he's a D tackle at the next level. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, he's 275 pounds, and he's just going to get bigger. So I don't see him as a legitimate option at end. Dantzler's probably going to go to Southern Miss, but if he does, that just makes it more likely that Mason flips from Southern Miss to Tech. So, and then Nicholas Wiggins, I believe, is a Louisiana Lafayette commitment. So,
speaking of Louisiana Lafayette commitments and Louisiana Tech commitments, Alfred Beverly, who was an early Louisiana Tech commit, then committed to the Cajuns. The advertiser in Lafayette is reporting that he's not committed to ULL anymore. Such a weird situation. Nobody knows where he's headed. Louisiana Tech's not where he's headed.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that's grades. I mean, if a kid just totally drops off the radar here in January, but who knows? I mean, it could be something else.
Now, there was a built-in ULL joke there somewhere, but we'll leave it be.
Yeah, we won't mess with them too bad. Kick them while they're down. Although we did like to talk about their sanctions a couple weeks ago.
But we already had fun with that.
Yeah.
No need for any more fun with it. Well, Jason, good stuff. John, thanks for producing the show. Good job, as always. Appreciate Coach Johnny Hill from Oxford, Mississippi, joining us, talking a little Jack Abraham and Zach Kauser, two future Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. It'll be 1 week from National Signing Day. The picture will become even more clear as to who Louisiana Tech will sign on that all-so-powerful day for college football fans. See you guys next week.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.